This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Thanks so much for joining me today. I am so excited about this show. I want to get right to it. This is Dr. Holly Lucille, Mindful Medicine here, and we're going to be talking about integrative, nutritionally oriented psychiatry. Oh, my dear. That's like, I don't know, that's just like, that is everything I want to talk about forever and ever. But we're going to talk about it for the next half hour with my esteemed guest, Dr. James Greenblatt. He is a board certified physician in child and adult psychiatry. He received his medical degree and completed his adult psychiatry residency at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. He completed a fellowship in child adolescent psychiatry at Johns Hopkins Medical School. He lectures extensively throughout the United States and Canada on integrative therapies for mental health. And my gosh, you know, I, as a naturopathic doctor, certainly use integrative therapies for many things that are presented clinically in my practice, and certainly in our modern day, a lot of things like stubborn weight gain and hormone imbalances and digestive issues and fatigue and hair thinning and all that. But if there is a place that I feel is under treated and understood as far as comprehensive, more commonsensical approaches, it is for our mental wellness and mental health. He is the author of 6 books. And I just, Dr. Greenblatt, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. A very important topic. So thank you for inviting me, Holly.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into this. So let's just start. How effective, from your perspective, is the current model for working with and treating people that present with depression?
Well, the sad news is our current models are not as effective as we hoped, as certainly my colleagues have hoped. When medication became introduced in the 80s, we thought it was going to cure mental illness. And the reality is it works sometimes, but, you know, it's not too far off from placebo. So our current model of treating particularly depression is limited and not as effective as we would like.
I would have to say it's probably one of the hardest presenting clinical diagnoses that I work with to treat, because it seems like there's multiple contributing factors, and everybody who presents with depression, they've got a different story as to what's really going on. And you say that from the medication perspective, here, take this, which, you know, obviously is commonly used. It, as far as the research is concerned, we're pretty close to placebo, so not really that effective. And would you also say that it's a case for harm just because of the side effects that people often experience?
For many individuals, there's weight gain, sexual side effects, even suicidal ideation. So there's potential side effects, but the real issue is the efficacy is 50%. And I think your point is the most important, is everybody presenting with depression might have a different story, their life is different, but also a different biochemical underlying cause. And that's really what integrative medicine for mental health is.
All right. So what are alternatives? What are alternatives that are available for patients with depression?
Well, there are many. And, in the depression book we wrote, I used a mnemonic called the zebra approach, and I chose zebras because every zebra has a unique stripe pattern. And that's kind of the metaphor that I want everyone to understand, is that, you know, as you said, 10, you know, adults, same age, same sex, with depression, there might be 10 different causes. And the zebra mnemonic just helps people kind of remember. And it's everything from, you know, stress to hormones, to nutritional deficiencies, to the GI tract. And often we kind of adopt the medical model, which is we read about, you know, probiotics and gut health and mood, it's going to cure everybody's depression. And one of those 10 people might have a GI problem where probiotics can help their mood, but the other 9, their mood, depression has nothing to do with the GI tract. So it's really looking at depression is a medical illness. We need to find those objective tests as we would for cancer, pneumonia, and any other medical problem.
Yeah, sure. So as you know, my system of medicine taught me very well a long time ago, truly looking deeply at identifying and treating the underlying cause. I believe that's where we get the best outcomes.
And I think that for me now, doing this almost 30 years, it's the only model that works in psychiatry. And we need to kind of adapt all our tools. I believe there is still a place for medicine, but it's in context of making sure we're understanding the nutritional, metabolic, genetic factors that could be contributing.
Right. So you mentioned nutrition. What are the roles that nutrition and diet play in depression? You know, I've told this story many times, but it's still one of my favorite stories. When I'm a big I look up words a lot, just even common words, because I feel like we've lost our meaning along the way. And I want to what's the root of this? You know, what was the real root meaning of this word? And diet was definitely one of those words that I felt became very connotated. And I wanted to see what does diet actually mean if you look it up in the dictionary? And Merriam-Webster says that it means habitual nourishment. You know, how is a habit? Do you nourish yourself? And so for many years, that's changed the way that I'm able to talk about diet with my patients and also sort of reframing it as in nourishment. But how does nutrition, play a role in depression?
Sure. I mean, huge topic. But if we kind of break it up to two areas, diet, as you said, there's now research proving what, you know, our grandmothers told us years ago is that, you know, higher consumption of processed and junk food increases risk of depression. Very simple. Also, those with gluten sensitivities or celiac disease, 2 to 3 times the rate of depression because of the malabsorption of nutrients. So diet is important. And then most of my work is looking at kind of a specific nutritional deficiency. Zinc deficiency being one of the most common, magnesium deficiency, folate, vitamin D. It goes the gamut. And the incredible part is the tremendous individual differences as to what these deficiencies would look like in any individual patient. I opened up my email this morning, and a new study came out this year in a journal called Psychiatric Research on Zinc Deficiency and Depression. So these are not kind of just in the kind of alternative naturopathic world. This is now in psychiatric research.
I think that's wonderful, and I think zinc deficiency is rampant. It's certainly being lost from our soil, you know, for sure. And then it's not getting into the food that we're consuming, and especially if we're consuming refined food products, as you mentioned. And I always talk to folks that I'm a consultant in the natural product industry, and so of course, people see zinc in a couple aisles of their health food store or, you know, at their pharmacy in a bottle, or they see all of these nutritional supplements and they can be categorized as nutritional supplements. But I always take it a little step further for them and remind them that, you know, when I took biochemistry, it blew me away the very first time because I was basically learning about nutrition because it's those cofactors of vitamins and minerals that drive our biochemistry, the building blocks to making the catecholamines, the neurotransmitters that we need to have good moods. And without those, and if we have deficiencies, that's what's going to show up. That's what's going to start breaking down, and we're going to start presenting with these symptoms. And to teach that these nutrients are just so much more than something that you find in the aisles or, you know, that you order on a website, that they're so very important when it comes to overall health, but certainly how our brain functions. And as you said, you know, obviously there's a lot of research and a tremendous amount of talk on the microbiome and the gut-brain connection and depression and the use of clinically, you know, research-strained probiotics. But pollen in diet is a whole nother thing. And as you said, huge topic. So I'm so happy for your work. I really am. I think people are going to just be thrilled to hear this podcast. And also, I can't wait for them to find you if they need help. Why do you think, there's so much controversy around the use of medication when it comes to mental illness, because I see that there certainly is.
And I think the controversy is well supported. But I think what is just as dangerous, and that's why I do like the word integrative, are some of my colleagues or other people who have completely rejected medications, because there are individuals with serious mental illness that might benefit. I think the antidepressant literature, again, is at 40 to 50% efficacy, and without looking at underlying metabolic causes, the medications don't work and there are potential side effects. But if you can do this nutritional, dietary, lifestyle kind of integration with medications, oftentimes we get the best result. I think one of the things that many people forget, particularly those in my field, I see a lot of patients struggling with mental illness, is the genetics and the family history are playing an increasingly important role. And we need to understand if someone has two or three generations of depression in their family, that it's a much more serious problem than someone struggling from depression with a loss or a some other lifestyle event.
Right. Right. Yeah, you have to go back and sort of dig into that history. And, you know, genetics, I have a horrible analogy that I'm trying to find a new one, because the analogy, I'll just say it and I hope people forgive me, but it's like genetics can certainly load the gun. And I've always said that your lifestyle, though, pulls the trigger for the most part. But certainly, you know, and all of the new research too on epigenetics and nutrigenomics, as far as DNA really doesn't have to be your destiny, but certainly understanding the especially if there's, as you said, generations and generations of folks that have had depression in the family, such an important thing to certainly get into when somebody's presenting with depression.
Please. Can I just respond that some of the genetics that are actually how we metabolize nutrients, so folate, and how we metabolize folate, and the genetics about B12 deficiency, I think is one of the most common nutritional deficiencies that we find in those presenting for depression, and oftentimes there is a genetic likelihood of many, often women in the family, melted generations have had B12 deficiency.
Yes, that's such an important point. You know, I just in the last 5 to 6 years really have been taking this into consideration when assessing my clients clinically and looking for that MTHFR variant or variants of that gene and other genetic testing, especially when people aren't progressing, you know, especially when the diet and lifestyle is starting to be dialed in, but then at the same time, you're not seeing the results that you can see with somebody else. It's like, okay, I always am thinking, well, you know, I think the body has an I'm always looking for what are the obstacles to that process? You know, what are the obstacles to cure? And I think that's such a great point. You're right. The genetics can play a part in why somebody would be deficient in these nutrients that are needed for our healthy mind and for our healthy biochemistry.
Yes, everyone presenting with me right now, we would do an MTHFR, you know, genetic test to see how they metabolize folate.
Yeah. Yeah. And B12 is a kicker because you need that intrinsic factor in your gut for it to be absorbed. And when people have gut issues, and many, many people do, that absorption of that particular nutrient isn't efficient. And so that's wonderful that you're looking at those places. I think that you're going to get so much better outcomes than just here, take this. And as you mentioned before, the here, take this approach, antidepressant medications have side effects. Some of them, you know, can cause suicidal ideation. I've certainly, you know, when I was a nurse, a bachelor degree nurse before I went back to naturopathic medical school, I worked in psychiatry in nursing, and I thought it was fascinating. But I work with chronically mentally ill adults in the community. And it was around the time when those sort of third generation antipsychotics came out, like Clozaril, et cetera. But some of them carry suicidal ideation as a as a side effect. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, the side effects sometimes can be permanent. Sometimes can be reversed when they stop the medication. And that's why the goal is always to see if we can, you know, avoid the use of medication or medications for short-term kind of acute crisis management, and then be able to look towards underlying nutritional lifestyle factors.
Yeah. How many physicians now are trained like you in integrative psychiatry?
Well, it's growing. You know, I think 30 years ago, there were very few of us, and it was very hard to talk about this stuff in public. And now I'm talking about everything we're talking about in grand rounds at hospitals, psychiatric hospitals and medical hospitals, and there's integrative medicine programs at all the major academic centers. So it's growing. There's a group called Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, and there were over 500 people at their annual conference last year in D.C., and individuals learning how to utilize nutrition and understand metabolism, how it might affect anxiety and mood disorders.
Wow, Dr. Greenblatt, that's amazing, because, I mean, I feel like, you know, so many times, why stop at the neck, right? When you're looking at a body and its illnesses, you know, I think that with mental illness, it's so important to ask those same questions that I've been asking for years when somebody, you know, has a presenting symptom that they're experiencing physically. I think it's great. And I want to review these books that you've written. And they can be found on finallyfocusedbook.com, correct?
Yes.
All right. So Answers to Anorexia, another, I think, place where we need such comprehensive integrative approach. The Breakthrough Depression Solution, Answers to Binge Eating, Integrative Therapies for Depression, Redefining Models for Assessment, Treatment, and Prevention, Nutritional Lithium, The Cinderella Story, and The Breakthrough Depression Solution, which is in its second edition. This was just last year, right? And then your latest book, Finally Focused, describing integrative therapies for ADHD. That's coming out, what, spring of this year?
May. Should be the first week in May, yeah.
Okay, great. So that's Finally Focused, describing integrative therapies for ADHD. And that can be found on finallyfocusedbook.com.
Correct.
Yeah, tell me more about that book that's coming out.
Well, I mean, ADHD was a child psychiatrist coming out of training in 1990. It was mostly what was happening in my practice. And the traditional medical model didn't work. Patients were looking for alternatives. And as I delved into the research, it was clear the association between food allergies, again, zinc deficiency and high copper and lead. The model made a lot of sense to me. And over the last 30 years, all the research has supported the material that we were talking about for the last 30 years. So it was nice to finally put it together, because kids were suffering, were having side effects to medications, and some just were kind of put into the mental health system and diagnosed bipolar and on multiple medications. Mm-hmm. And 4- and 5- and 6-year-olds on medications. There was a case in Massachusetts where a child died because of multiple psychotropic medications. So the information, again, is just laid out for the general audience to be able to understand the nutritional approaches that one could use for ADHD.
That's amazing. I mean, you really have taken on some pretty powerful things. I mean, eating disorders, both binge eating and anorexia, depression, ADHD, and you're offering these integrative solutions. Do you get any, you know, you're very esteemed as far as your education and your credentials. Do you get any, in any, I would say, spirited conversations with your colleagues that might think what you're doing is a little bit, you know, what did they say, woo or what have you?
You know, not anymore. I mean, I've always kept one foot in traditional medicine. I teach psychiatrists and nurse practitioners. And I was fortunate, and maybe that I got into the field of eating disorders, so malnourished anorexic. So for 15 years, nobody argued with me when I talked about essential fatty acid and zinc deficiency in our patients that were, you know, struggling with starvation. So that kind of legitimized most of this nutrition work. And now there's research on the microbiome and anorexia. So, and now, as I said, traditional physicians are really begging for this information. And I have requests from people, child psychiatrists, who aren't learning this in their fellowship programs and want to learn this on their own.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that's perfect. That's so important because I think when you really think about it, I used to have this tagline called let's think things through, because literally when I'd be with a patient and I'd be getting their story and I'd kind of push myself back away from my desk and just say it. I'd say it out loud. Well, let's just think this through. And so many of the things that you're saying, you know, sort of essential fatty acid deficiency, zinc deficiency, and anorexia, of course, if they have been, you know, not eating. And then we know the role. If you just go back to even the biomedical training that all conventional, you know, docs get in school, they play a big role in the way that the body works. And so it really is just kind of thinking things through. And I like that somebody like you helps take the connotation off of using integrative, or I like to say sometimes integrative approaches.
Yeah.
Instead of just reductionary approaches. And I agree with you. I think that there's a place for everything, really, truly. I mean, I grew up the daughter of two pharmacists. You know, my father climbed the corporate ladder at the Upjohn Company when I was growing up. And that's all I was exposed to back then, was just here, take this, here, take this. And I think that with some people, and in some cases, medications are life-saving. But if, you know, I think that's assuming a homozygous population. And certainly, if we know anything at this point in time, that's just not true. And so getting these deeper questions and truly thinking things through the way that you do, I just think it's beautiful. So how can patients find out more information about integrative psychiatry? I mean, I know families, I know individuals that struggle so much with either somebody close to them or themselves, and they need this information. Where can they go?
Well, I think, you know, the two sites, one of my websites, James Greenblatt, MD, has lots of resources. And then that IMMH, Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, has a directory of individuals who've gone through some of the training, taking classes, and are seeking referrals. And those are all, I don't know all of them, but I know there are many well-qualified clinicians on that list who will treat mental health issues.
Well, great. So is it IMMH.com?
Yes, Integrative Medicine for Mental Health.
Right. Well, I am not currently on that list, but I am going to go to that website and see about getting training, more advanced training myself, because I think this is such an thrilled Dr. James Greenblatt, MD, that you do what you do. And once again, your website is, with a lot of resources, James Greenblatt, that's GREENBLATTMD.com. You know, I call the show Mindful Medicine because truly I think one of the best things that we can do is just sort of wake up and use our own minds, like be mindful about the choices. And I think there is so much sometimes seduction from every marketing sort of medical establishment, but certainly from the pharmaceutical companies. And I think that what I really like to do is just get people great information so they can wake up and go, hey, you know, this isn't just, sort of like, oh, you can heal things with barks and berries or what have you. As far as integrative medicine, it's actually just thinking things through like you do so well. So Dr. Greenblatt, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Holly.
Yeah. All right, folks, this is Dr. Holly Lucille at Mindful Medicine. I'm going to see you next time.